Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 for a foundation. The Lord wants you and I, just like Brother Corey said, to that verse isn't in there to fill up space. It's a reality. He wants us to have more than abundant life. Amen. He wants us to have all of these wonderful things. But the only way that you and I can inherit the blessings of God, the promises of God, we've got to know what they are. And we've got to be able to put off the old man, the carnal man that is a hindrance, that is a limitation to the many things that the Lord has for us. And, you know, Romans chapter 14, verse 23, the last part of the verse, it says, whatsoever things is not of faith is sin. So, if we'll be honest with ourselves and honest with the Lord, when we have fear, when we have anger, when we have all of these things, the works of the old man, in reality, whether we want to label it that or not, it is sin. And so sin separates us from the best things that God has for us. And so we want to draw just as nigh to the Lord as we can. And you and I, we can get so close to Him that we can hear His heartbeat. And His heartbeat is beating for you and I to have His best. Amen? And so tonight I feel like that the Lord is leading us in a direction to hear some words for us to decree out of our life that we are overcomers. But we've got to believe that. We've got to take it to heart. Amen? So let's just see where this goes. Romans chapter 8. Let's start reading in verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. When you're there, say amen. Verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? And you'll have to cover them in your home study time. If God be for us, who can be against us? Think about that. If God be for us, say, I'm for God and God's for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him, or through him, the channel of Jesus Christ, also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Praise God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, pearl, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now notice this here. We read all that to read verse 37 to try to get a little bit of a context. Verse 37, nay, or nevertheless, better translated, nevertheless, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him, through Jesus, that loved us. Say more than. More than. Hallelujah. Sister Victoria, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for, once again, for being here. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you, Sister Victoria, for your prayer. Hallelujah. So you are right now more than a conqueror. Because God said you was, not because how you feel or not because what it looks like or not because you're having a good moment or a bad moment, but because God says you are. And so I've got to come to the place where I let the Word of God have number one in my life. I've got to learn to let that Word influence my spiritual senses and bring my natural senses under the truth. Everything needs to come under the feet of Jesus Christ. And if it's under His feet, it's in the place of complete and total victory. Amen? So, hold your place. We'll come right back. I want to read one verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 57. So, if you and I believe something, we'll be thankful for it, right? You know, if somebody tells you they're going to do something in your life, or give you something or do something for you, you thank them because you take them at their word. Well, they're going to do it, right? Well, we need to know what God's done and we need to be thankful in all things not for all things, but in all things. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God. Come on, God, God the Father, He's on the throne. He is the one that's looking out for you and I. Amen. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's your channel of victory? Jesus. So we know that Jesus overcome all things. He was in all points tempted, yet without sin. So He knows how to meet the devil head on. He knows how to walk in this world and walk victoriously. And so because of Jesus Christ, you have something that's been gave to you. I have something that's been gave to me. So what we need to do is we need to, when we encounter situations that's contrary to what thus saith the Lord, we just need to start thanking God. You know, I thank you, Lord, that I have the victory. I am not in sin. I'm not under bondage. I am not what I'm feeling. I'm not what the devil is showing me. I am a blood-bought, blood-washed child of God. I'm moving up. I'm going forward. And it's all for the glory and the grace of the one who saved me. Amen. The one who blood-bought me. That's what I'm living for. That's what you're living for tonight. And so I'm in that place of thankfulness. And if I'm in that place of thankfulness, I'm in that place of openness. See, because when you're thankful, you're open to receive more and more and more. See, I walked so long in my Christian walk with just a little bit. Just a little bit of truth, just a little bit of grace, just a little bit of mercy. When all the time it was there for me, I just didn't know how to receive it. And then after I did receive some, I didn't know how to operate in it. And so tonight, by the Spirit of God, you and I, we're going to start operating in some things that we maybe have not operated in before. Amen? So let's go back. Go back to your text. Now look at that verse number 37. It says, nevertheless, or it says nay, but in the King James, but nevertheless, in all these things, in all the things that you're going to encounter in this life, you are more than a conqueror. Now, Paul, when he penned this letter, when the Holy Ghost moved upon him, and he penned this letter to the church, say, I'm the church. When he penned this letter to us, he did not have a word that was great enough to talk about the victory that you had in Jesus Christ. And so this was a brand new word that the Holy Ghost moved upon him. You are a hupernikano. You are a super overcomer. And so, in other words, I want you to see that when God was bringing this vision to Paul to bring to the church, he was, with his word, he was creating. He was creating something new for the church to receive. Tonight, when you and I hear by the Spirit of the living God, we're going to hear a new thing in our spirit. It may be something we've never heard before, and it's going to be a word that will bring faith, a word that will release faith, a word that will take us to a new level in Jesus. Amen? A word that will cause us to walk up high above sin, walk up in a place of soundness, in a place of satisfaction. Come on in, Jesus. He's the only one that satisfies. Amen? And it's for us. All right. So he said that you were more than a conqueror. Now notice this. Through him that loved us. Right. Now let's think about it just for a moment. This morning we preached about a lot of things, but we preached about the love of God. And remember what 1 Corinthians 13:8 says. God's love never fails. So the love of God that he loved us with. Brother Ryan, put 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19. God loved you before you even knew it. Amen? We love Him because He first loved us. Hallelujah! Now think about this. So this channel of God's love is Jesus Christ and what He done on the cross, how He defeated hell, death, and the grave, how He went to the tomb and the tomb couldn't hold Him. Amen? That's the love of God. And so that love that caused you and I, that causes us and enables and empowers us to be an overcomer, it was first given to us even though we didn't know anything about God. That's how much God loves you. He thinks about you all the time. Remember, it says that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for you. That's love. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, I don't want to pray. When I'm struggling, and if I'm struggling with a situation or a person, And so I'm there, and I've got to make a decision. Am I going to do this by faith, or am I going to just bulk up and go my own way? Sometimes I go my own way, and it don't work. But if I will humble myself and trust God, don't let the devil or my flesh tell me how I feel or what I can do. You realize that you are anointed whether you feel like it or not. God said you was anointed that would abide with you. It was a teaching anointing that would teach you in every circumstance and situation that you are more than a conqueror. That you're an overcomer, amen? That abiding anointing is there with you all the time. It's with me all the time. And so I've got to see that. So God first loved me. And He loved me, Jeremiah says, with an everlasting love. And Paul, that's what he went into all this detail in this eighth chapter, is that there's no situation of my life, there's nothing that I can do or not do that can separate me from that love. See, He loves me not because of what I do, but because I'm His. Isn't that something? That should give us confidence. And the confidence is, I want you to know that we may step in some stuff. Remember, Jesus told Peter, said, let me wash your feet. In this world, you may step in some stuff, but that doesn't change how God feels about you. See, we can learn when we step in some stuff, and then we can help somebody else come up out of what they stepped in and avoid that the next time and the next time, because we're living an example of being more than an overcomer. An overcomer is not somebody that's perfect. If you were perfect, you wouldn't have to overcome some things. Amen? And so you're overcoming, and so don't let the devil discourage you and be that message in the darkness, in this dark world, that God's a God of grace. God's a God that gives hope. God's a God that grabs people where they're at and drags them along. And I say that in the sense by the Spirit, in love. Sometimes God had to drag me when I couldn't walk. And I know we talk about the footprints in the sand and all that stuff. God carries us. But sometimes He had to drag me, because I would not get up in His arms. I'm sorry. This is how the flesh is. But God is so good. He'll meet me where I'm at, and He'll help me. Amen? And so we got to tell people this. We've got to encourage them and give them hope, give them confidence. Let's look at some things here. If we understand the power of the Scripture, if we understand that when God says something, that's the way it is. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and most of you in here, you could quote this, but let's lay our eyes on it and read it. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? The same was in the beginning with God. Now notice this, verse number 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Who's the Him? And He's the Word, right? All right. So when God looked and there was darkness, what did He do? And He changed darkness into... Amen? So when the devil comes against you, when he comes against me, and he tries to get us to talk out of our situation, out of our hurt, out of our heartache, out of a moment of mistake, out of a moment of weakness, we don't do that. Amen. We step back and we say, wait a minute. I'm not going to keep calling what I have, because if I keep calling what I have, that's all I will ever have. I'm going to start calling what the Word has said. Amen? So in the beginning, from the beginning, God had the Word. And His Word was a creative force that changed things from a negative situation. The Holy Spirit was brooding, was resting, was moving in rest across the deep. And that's a very deep term. Look at it sometime in your home study time. And when the Word was spoke, the brooding of the Holy Spirit brought forth a change. Well, we've then said that you have an anointing that abides with you forever. So the Holy Spirit is brooding in your life. He's waiting for you to say what He is bringing to your heart. And when you speak it out of your own mouth, it's a creative force that will change where you're at and what you're dealing with and cause you to overcome. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so in the beginning was the Word. So I've got to see that right here that God is wanting us to understand that nothing was made unless it was made by the Word. So I need to step back and I need to say, Lord, show me where the devil's operating, but then show me where my flesh is operating. The devil gets blamed for everything, but I can tell you, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself. A lot of the times it's not the devil, it's this little thing right here between my teeth. So, whatsoever things is not of faith is. So, if I start talking fear, doubt, and unbelief, come on, and if everything is created by a word, so if I keep agreeing with the devil, boy, I always mess up in this area. I always fall short. No, God said to give him thanks because I have victory. God said to speak out of my own heart the understanding that I am, that you are more than a conqueror. Come on now. And we get in that mindset. We get let the Word have preeminence in our life. We let the Word start producing. And as the Word starts producing, it starts changing our attitude. And when your attitude changes, your altitude changes. Your expectancy changes. Amen. This is what God wants for us. Amen. All right. So we have the power of the Word to do all these wonderful things in our life, but we have to believe it. Amen. So there's a word that will change everything. So in Psalms 121. Now, you know, we talked about this as we started the new year. You pray about it and search it out on your own. But in my heart, I believe that Psalms 121 is the psalm of this year. And so I pray this psalm. I hold on to this psalm because I think that it will give us the very answer in this troublesome times that we're all dealing with. But I just, for sake of time, I just want you to note the first two verses. Psalms 121:1. I will, you've got to make up your mind. I've got to make up my mind. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, I believe that there should be a question mark there. Because I believe the psalmist is saying, I'm going to look to the hills. Now, I know that God has a holy hill, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about, I look all around and I see all these little man-made hills. They're not my answer. They'll let me down. They'll disappoint me. Because look at verse number 2. He said, my help. Come on, this is your decree. This is my decree tonight. This is our place of being thankful for victory, being more than an overcomer. He said, my help cometh from the Lord. What you need tonight, what I need tonight, only the Lord God Almighty can bring it into your life. And so thank God for things in this world that are helpful in some small way or even some temporal way. Thank God for those things. But we can make a use of those things. But when it comes down to when everything's said and done, only the Lord can do what needs to be done in your life and my life. Amen? So he said, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Now let's think about that just for a second. So I'm dealing with some things. My flesh is acting up. My mind is acting up. I'm in a place where I don't understand what's happening. There's different actions that's coming against me. There are different entities. There's all of these things. So I've got to come back and I've got to say, now wait a minute. It didn't matter about this. This neighbor or this friend or this co-worker, I love them and I'm going to pray for them, but they're not going to have an ultimate effect on whether I'm happy or not. Amen. They're not going to have an effect on whether I'm successful or not, because my help comes from the Lord. God's going to bless me. God's going to take care of me because He said He would, not because I deserve it. Come on. I qualify for His blessings. You qualify for His blessings. Because why? Because of Jesus. Amen? So your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now heaven, let's think about it. He's wanting us to see and live from heaven for the eternity. If God will take care of us in the eternity, He's going to take care of us here on earth. Amen? So my God that orchestrated the eternity, and then He's orchestrated this temporal time in this second earth age as we're getting ready to come into the third, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Amen? All right. So I need a word. I need a word from the Lord that will help me operate in this, because He said in the beginning was that word that created what God wanted in the world, and I want to be able to do the very same thing. So go to Psalms 119. And we're talking about whatsoever things is not of sin, of not of faith is sin, and this is how we overcome it. Psalms 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and they that seek Him with the whole heart. Now notice this, verse number 3. Get ready to shout. They also do no iniquity, and they walk in His ways. So how do I overcome? See, he went past sin here, and he went into iniquity. Now, sin is one thing. See, I can choose to sin or not. And I can, one time I may bow down to that, and I may serve that. And the next time I can just walk right around it and say, no thanks. But when you get into iniquity, you're getting into a where sin has been abounding for a long time, and I chose to bow down to that, and that iniquity now has a stronghold in my life. And that iniquity has a demon, an evil spirit that's working behind it in whatever sin that is that has turned into iniquity. And now I don't have a choice. Because iniquity simply means to be bent, to be turned, and not to go straight like God would want me to. Amen? Actually, the word iniquity here is very interesting. It's a play on words. It's where we get our word evil. That's actually what it is in the Hebrew. So, notice what he said. They also do no iniquity that walk in His ways. Well, His word is His way. So, I've got the promise that Jesus said that He would bring to my remembrance whatsoever things He said, that He would teach me new things. He would teach me His Word. His Word will empower me to walk in His way, and I do not have to do iniquity. I do not have to do sin. In other words, whom the Son makes free, come on, is free indeed, right? John 8:36, all right? But, He said in John 8:31, I need to be His disciple. And if I'm His disciple, I'll become disciplined in His truth. And then He said in verse 32, I'll know the truth, and the truth will make me free. Come on. So the truth is that I can walk in His ways because of His word, and that word will pull me out of anything that the devil has planned for my life. Will pull me out of the weakness of the flesh and put me in a place of being an overcomer. Come on now. Now drop down with me to verse 11. Let's do verse 10 first. And notice the contingency here, just like it was a while ago. With my whole heart. Aren't you glad that you can give your whole heart to God? You know, sometimes it's hard for us to give our whole heart, even to our spouse, or our children, or a mom or dad. You know, we hide something back. But I can give everything to God. He understands me. And He don't judge me. Come on now. That gives me confidence, don't you? With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Now notice this. Thy commandments. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. So, by the Spirit of God, when He's dealing with me, when He's bringing revelation, when He's bringing unction to me, I take that word, and by the power of the Spirit, I write it on the table of my heart. He said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. I can keep from doing the things I used to do. I can have victory. I can be more than a conqueror. I can overcome in every area by the word. Because the word is Jesus. Everybody's looking for all of these different ideologies and steps for success and victory. It's right here. Jesus Christ is the answer to whatever the question is. He's the answer to the need. He is the one that's going to keep me from being pulled under by the very stronghold of the devil. Amen? So thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Notice this. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. All we've got to do is be teachable. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you and I according to our growth, according to our knowledge, but then He comes in to our experience. See, nobody knows what you've experienced but God. Come on now. Nobody knows how you have went through situations and struggles and how the devil has come against you in a tempest. Nobody understands that, but God does. Your Father does. And so He's able to teach you the statue, the Word, the part of Jesus that you need to hear that you can walk in your victory that was destined from the foundation of the world. Amen? All right. Drop down to verse 101. Look at this. Psalms 119, 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Now, understand what He's saying here, that I might keep Thy Word. Now, it depends on how you translate this, and you can't go wrong either way. But I want you to see it in the fullness. Because how many knows that God's Word is always on three levels? And God's Word doesn't change, but it's according to where we're at in our walk is how we receive that Word. Amen? And that's why the Word is alive, and it's why we're being changed from glory to glory, because every time we look at the Word, it changes us. Amen? All right? So, the psalmist here, he made this statement. He said, I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I would admonish you to look at it that he was able to refrain where he walked because of the word. Now, in other words, I want you to see what he's really saying. Just go to the secret place in your heart where nobody knows but just you and the Lord, where God gave you victory over something. That's nobody's business, just you and the Lord. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. He's talking about something that was in his heart that he struggled with. And he's talking about how there was a word that come to him that empowered him to be able to make a choice. Aren't you glad that you can make a choice? See, I don't know about you, but before Jesus, I didn't have a choice. Whatever my flesh wanted to do and however the devil and his evil spirits were working in my life, that's the direction I went. I'm ashamed at some of the things that I did and I said. But Jesus Christ, He comes into our life, and that's what the psalmist is wanting us to see. He gives us a choice to be able to say, wait a minute. God has a word for me in this situation. The word is, here's, you know, and I'm being very cautious here, but in my own life, for instance, I've shared with you many times, but, you know, about telling the truth, you know, not exaggerate, you know, so if we have, you talk to some people, and I don't mean to be cruel, but some people have moved from not being able to tell the truth to a lying spirit. Right. Because the devil does take over. But the great thing about it is, here's the word. The word is, Jesus said, I'll put my words in your mouth. Right. So you got a choice. And your choice is, wait a minute, God said He'd put His words in my mouth. If I'd open my mouth wide, He would fill it. I can say this or I can say that. So here's the word. The word is what causes me to overcome. The word is what empowers me. So I choose the word. So that's what the psalmist is saying here. He said, I took the right decision. I made the right choice. And now, he said, I have refrained my feet from every evil way because of that word. So if you have a situation in your life where you have a tendency to go negative or to be fearful or to be anxious about things or to be indecisive where the enemy can really beat you down and keep you in a corner, then you come back and you know, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit said He would lead me and guide me into all truth. I can make a decision on this situation. It'll be right. You're not going to let me make me, empower me to be defeated, devil, flesh. I'm going to trust in my God. That's where my help's coming from. That's where the word's coming. And I'm going to let that word have preeminence in my life. Amen? Okay. Drop down to 165. Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. I love the word, don't you? All right. So if you're anxious tonight about anything in your life, the Bible said if you love the word of God, you have great peace. So we've got to take that emotion that we're feeling in our body, in our mind, and we say, shut up in the name of Jesus. You conform to the word of God. I have great peace. Not because it feels like it, not because it looks like it, but because God said, I have it. So devil, you take every little one of your goods, flesh, you that are reacting out of what you're seeing or what you're not seeing, you conform right now. And just as God sent, Matthew chapter 8, Jesus Christ, what does he do? In Matthew chapter 8, it says that he brings healing to us that Isaiah 53 talks about, spirit, soul, and body. Because when the word goes forth, speak the word only. Come on. And my servant will be healed. Jesus spoke the word. Jesus is talking to us all the time out of his word. Amen. And so tonight he says that you and I, that the body of Christ has great peace. Now, we look at what's happening. We look at how they're trying to shut down the economy. We look at what's going to happen to the gas prices. And we look to, somebody who kills a million plus jobs in 30 days, less than 30 days. We've got some things to be concerned about, right? But we're not going to let those concerns make us anxious. We're going to say, Lord, I have peace. You're going to take care of me. Come on. God took care of his children all through the Bible. You're blessed no matter what the government does or doesn't do. You're blessed no matter what the world is saying, and you have great peace. Okay. Great peace have they which love thy law. And I notice this. This is so important tonight. And nothing. What does nothing mean? Not one thing, right? Not one thing shall offend you. Now, this word offend, it means to trip you up. Come on, you can walk where God wants you to walk because you're in step with the Lord. Enoch was so in step with the Lord, after 365 years, he was and was not because God took him. Come on, you and I'm ready to be taken, aren't you? So let's get in step with the Lord. Let's know that all is going to be well. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You need to tell the devil, you need to tell your flesh, you're not going to be tripped up. You've got to say it. I've got to say it. Remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Nothing was created except by the Word. Jesus said, you shall have what you... So you and I, we've got to start saying what the Word says about every situation. Okay. Two more sets of verses, I think. John chapter 12. Start at verse number 24. And you'll have to fill in the previous verses to get the whole context, but we don't have time. John 12:24. Look at what Jesus is talking. He says, verily, verily, and remember, this is truly, truly. This is assuredly, assuredly. This is a double affirmation. It's actually what you and I would say, amen and amen. All right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Mark that down. And die, it shall abide alone. But if it die, it shall bringeth forth much fruit. Now, Jesus is talking about what his death was going to do and how it was going to bring forth the fruit of you and I. But there's a double meaning here that will help us so much. And see how he ties it together. Let's keep the full thought. Verse 25. He or she that loveth his or her life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So if I want to be in the place where I abide in the Lord and I abound in much fruit, and I do and you do, then I've got to learn that I've got to die to self. Because I don't know about you, but this flesh body, it wants to do and it thinks and operates like it did before my spirit got born again. Amen. Nothing about it is changed. And so if I want to stop the devil from operating in my life like he has in the past, if I want to step up in this supernicano, this more than a conqueror, this and walk and live victoriously, then I've got to do what Jesus said for me to do. I've got to plant this body with him. The devil can't touch a dead man. That's why Jesus went to the garden. He went to the garden and he bowed down and he prayed. Right? And he got up and he went to his disciples and they were... And he went back and prayed. Come back and they were... All these things went on. But what was he doing? Garden of Gethsemane, I mean, wine press. He was being pressed beyond measure, and the seed that was in him was coming out. He was getting ready to literally lay down his life, but he was making a decision right then and there for you and I, because he sweat great drops of blood. He was at the moment of having a stroke, the stress he was under. But because of that stress that he was under, he trusted God for his life, because he knew that he had a destiny. His destiny was the cross. The devil couldn't kill him till he went to the cross. Amen. Come on. The devil can't take you out until you fulfill your destiny. Amen. You have something to do for the glory of God, and I don't care what the devil's trying to say, he cannot stop you. Come on, because you're in Jesus. You're following his will. And so we're willing to become a dead man for Jesus Christ. Verse number 26. If any man, woman, boy, or girl, if any person serve me, let them follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Come on, we've read this verse, and we've looked right over the power of this verse. Where's Jesus at? The right hand of power, right? He's right there. And Ephesians tells us we're seated with... You can't be defeated. You're in the seat of victory. You're already seated in the winner's circle. Amen? So we've got to walk it out. We've got to live it. We've got to believe it. We've got to trust the Word of God. And we've got to say what the Lord says where we can have His promises. Amen? If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. That's a promise. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Oh. You know why the devil's beating on you so much? Because all he hears is, look at my boy, look at my girl. What happened with Job? Come, God brags on you. And when God, See, Jesus is sitting there making prayer, making intercession for you and I according to the will of God. And when that gets spoke out and God brags on you and starts directing you by His Spirit into that way and that will, the devil's going to come in every way to try to stop you. But you can't be stopped. Come on. You're a part of the mighty moving force of the Church of the Living God. Amen. Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause I came unto this hour. This is why you and I are here. We're just now coming into our place of destiny. Amen? And so we're here for a reason. And so that gives us comfort and that gives us calm. All right. So let's apply a verse that you know very well. But let's apply it so we can leave here in a newfound place of victory. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. You know, it doesn't matter how much word we know. It matters how much word we're speaking out of our life and we're standing on. Amen? Now, notice verse number 10. Revelation 12, 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, number one, and strength, number two, and the kingdom, number three, of our God, and the power, number four, of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. You know, Satan is the plaintiff in the courtroom of heaven. Now, how do we win in the courtroom of heaven? You and I, we're not going to win anything here. Stop fighting the battle here. We've got to fight the battle and let God be on the throne. Let Jesus be your defendant. Amen? Let Him be the one that is trying your case. You're trusting in Him. Let Him the one, and He's the Word. Let Him the one that you speak out of and that you trust in. Now notice, how do we do this? Verse number 11. And they overcame Him. They overcome the devil, right? All right, we're talking about being more than a conqueror. We're talking about walking victoriously. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. So how many's got the blood on their life? All right, so you have the first part that is settled in heaven, and we need to settle it here on earth. Everywhere you go, you need to know that that blood is on your doorpost, and the death angel cannot come. All right, so there's the blood. There's the blood. So that's the first part of being an overcomer. So you tell the devil, every time he starts coming against you, every time he comes against your mind, comes against your body, every time he starts operating, just start pleading the blood. Amen? That's your confidence. That's your hope. Now notice this. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So I can have the blood all over my life, and then I can start talking devil talk. And I'm defeated. The blood didn't fail. And so you and I, we've got to stand strong, and we've got to be this example of telling people how they can change their life. How many times have you been with somebody and you love them so much, you want to help them so much, but they keep beating their head against the wall because of their mouth? See, this, I can relate to this very easily because it applies to my life. Because that's the hardest thing for me to do is sometimes I have to beg the Lord. And I know we don't beg Him, but you know what I mean. In desperation, I say, Lord, put Your hand over my mouth. Because right now, I'm not strong enough to say the right thing. And I'm not strong enough not to say anything. Come on, He'll do it. He'll do it. Remember the psalmist? My tongue cleaved to the roof of my mouth. The prophet? My tongue cleaved. Because why? Because God stopped them from saying what they wouldn't supposed to say. Why did God shut I'm trying to think of his name. Why did He shut His mouth? Because He had to. He would have undone what needed to be done, right? So God stopped. So God, if He will do that, you've got examples. There's three examples right there off the top of our head in the Bible. It's for you and I. So when you feel weakness, when you feel that weakness in yourself and the strong work of the flesh, just say, Lord, stop it. And He'll do it. Amen. Okay, so we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And then most people just shut the verse off right there. Okay. We have partial victory, but we're not going to have full victory until we do the fullness of what the Word says. Amen? So we've got to love our life not unto death. So I've got to be in the place where I love God more, and I submit to the Lord more, and I'm willing to put this body on my cross. Jesus carried His, now He has commanded me to carry mine, right? So if I want, in closing, go to Romans chapter 6. This is how you and I walk in this victory like never before. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue? Shall we abide? Shall we live? Shall we expect sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I love my life not unto death, not unto the devil, but I love my life unto the Lord. I give my life to Him the way He gave His life for me as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. I become dead to the operation of what the devil wants to do in and through my flesh. Amen? Verse number 3. Know ye not? And if he had to say it, don't you think that most people didn't know it? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Now what does that mean? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ. Now that word like as Christ, it means just exactly like. Identical. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. You've got a brand new life. It's not just, this didn't happen at the moment of salvation. It happens every day. Because you're being changed from glory to glory. You're walking in a new revelation, a new unction. The unction, the function by the Holy Ghost is being presented in your life in a new way every day. Amen? Amen. Verse number 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. But notice this, verse 6. Knowing this, we've got to know it, that our old man is crucified with Him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now, I love it because this word destroyed doesn't mean destroyed like, you know, you and I get mangled up. It means to render entirely useless. In other words, the things that my flesh was useful in to the work of the world, the work of the devil, now because of Christ, it's useless to the devil. It's useless to the world. It's useless to my old sinful nature because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he or she that is dead is freed from sin. You're free! You're free! Amen? So whatsoever things is not of faith is sin, but that sin doesn't label me anymore. Because I'm coming to faith because I'm putting the Word number one in my life. I'm putting Jesus number one. He is preeminent. He has the first say. He has the middle say. He has the final say. He has all say. And I walk in that place of full confidence that God will never leave me, never forsake me. Amen? Come on, you are what God says you are. You are more than a conqueror. Amen? We've got to see it. We've got to believe it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for the power of Your Word. I thank You for the gift of praying in the Holy Ghost. I thank You, Lord, as we pray in the Spirit of God, that You can drop in our heart the very timely Word that we need that will elevate us in You. When we truly humble ourselves is when we become elevated. Because You said, if I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, that You would exalt me in due season. Lord, there's some people here tonight, starting right here with myself, that we're ready to hear the Word of God and to step up into a new level in You. A new level of freedom. A new level of victory. A new level of peace like we've never had before. And I ask You, Father, that You just, by Your Spirit, that You touch our hearts. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Let the Spirit of wisdom and revelation come upon each one of us. And let us hear what You would have for us tonight to come into that new place for Your glory. Lord, let it be. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you would, come up here and make yourself an altar. If you don't feel comfortable with that, you can make yourself an altar at your chair. If you need prayer, I'll put the mask up. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray. There's nothing like us praying together. The power of where two agree is touching any one thing. It makes the impossible possible. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, if you need anything in the Lord, He's here. Come on. His Spirit has spoke this into our life. And tonight, you can leave here in a new place of complete victory, of complete peace like you never had before. Lay down anything that you brought here at the foot of the cross and pick up what Jesus brought out of the tomb for you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, ma'am.